G'day, this is Big Brady Marshall.
This is Brian Alvarez.
This is Dean Brady of the Millennials.
This is the Jurassic Punk Sid Parker.
How many of you guys have heard the term kayfabe?
Blue Doggers. This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Matt Grim Basso.
This is the loosest kid in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is Scrap Brand Adam Pearce, and you are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Welcome, everyone, to your longest running Australian wrestling podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman. What do you know, guys? Back to back weeks. Unbelievable. The kid pulled it off. Who can? Wow. That was so bad. Anyway, I hope you all went out and enjoyed local pro wrestling in some way, shape, or form this past weekend. Although I didn't get to see anything during the weekend, I did, however, catch Riot City Wrestling's Rocktober on their YouTube channel. If you do get a chance, go and check it out. A really great show. And from what I heard, it was actually mixed on the fly, so no real post-production to go into it. So it really shows the product that they put out there for you people at home on YouTube, of course. And hopefully one day, this could be a precursor to something in a way of a streaming service. We can just all keep our fingers crossed there if you're a fan of Riot City Wrestling. Some great matches on that card. Matt Hayter and Katie Trey had a good match. Of course, Rocky Monero and Chris Basso always have a great match. Gods and Monsters with the returning Perea, another good match. I'm not going to run down the whole card, but it was a really, really good show. And I do encourage you going on their Facebook or even their YouTube channel and checking it out. This week's guest is someone who, for the longest time, I've seen from afar, and I've heard stories about the guy, and everyone that I've run into that's had encounters with the guy has always said, unbelievable dude, quality man, someone who if I ever have troubles with, I go to and I talk to him, and he always sort of sets it straight, and I thought, okay, fair enough. And then I met the guy in person when he worked up here at Pro Wrestling League, and I'm talking, of course, of the godfather of Australian wrestling, David Storm. We sat down today for a conversation, went for nearly an hour, and it is one of my favorite interviews I've done in a long time. The guy is an absolute wealth of knowledge, and some of the things we cover off in this episode, I mean, originally it was, to be perfectly honest with you, to get him on there just to talk a little bit about Colosseum coming up this weekend, because of course he is in that big two-day event coming up on, I think it's Friday, Saturday. So, yeah, that was originally what the plan was, to get someone on to help promote that show like it needs help being promoted. It's the biggest show at the moment in Australian wrestling. But it was a good excuse to talk to someone as good as David Storm. And like I said, really, really did love this chat, and I hope you do too, right here on Wrestle Radio Australia. This week's guest needs no introduction. He is the godfather of Australian wrestling, and I am a massive fan of this man's work. I never actually even got to see him work really live until he came up here to Pro Wrestling League, and just being in and around the ring with him, you can tell exactly why he is called the godfather of Australian wrestling. David Storm, thank you so much for coming on today, mate.
Pleasure, mate. How are you?
I'm very good. Did you like the intro? I worked really hard on that one.
I love the intro, but I've got to say, I'm far more self-conscious about, because it was always the godfather of Perth wrestling.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty comfortable with that one. And then over time, as more personalities have sort of found their way overseas, I've inherited this title of the godfather of Australian wrestling. But Mr. Hartley Jackson recently poked his head back into Australia, so I've got to say, I'm a little bit self-conscious of calling myself the godfather of Australian wrestling when the bloke who mentored me is still in the country.
Well, see, but there you go now. Now you've got a ready, set program. Just ready to go, mate.
That's it. We can fight over the imaginary title of godfather of Australian wrestling.
There always needs to be a prize, mate. There always needs to be a prize. How is everything over in Perth? Because it seems to be, and I hate to say it, it seems to be one of the forgotten states at the moment with Australian pro wrestling, because everyone talks about your Sydneys with your PWAs and your Melbournes with the MCWs. EPW is one of the premier promotions around the country for the longest time. So how is everything going over there?
Things are going fantastic here. So I feel like just quietly, while while Sydney and Melbourne might be putting on the shows that are sort of grabbing the attention, particularly of an international audience, that over here we're just quietly getting on with our job. And for us, the most important thing from day one has always been about building a sustainable future for ourselves and for the wrestling scene in Australia in general. And I feel like we're doing a really good job of that at the moment. We've got a lot of experienced talent here that are helping make our shows world class, is probably the best phrase to use. Getting Damian Slater over here, having guys like Marcus Pitt, Alex Kingston, Bobby Marshall, the list really goes on, and then having Mikey Nichols return to Perth over the year as well. But I feel there's a real buzz around the shows again. There's a buzz around EPW. But while we have all this experience, we also have an excellent crop of young talent coming through as well. And that goes from guys like Julian Ward, who are sort of knocking on the door of the main event, all the way down to young talent like Tipane and Jack Edwards and Stella Nix, who are just finding their way onto EPW main shows at this stage. But I think they've got a really bright future ahead of them, and that bodes really well for us, obviously.
Yeah, I do hear a lot of talk about that. Is it Tipane?
Tipane, yeah.
I do hear a lot of talk about him having something a little extra. And like to your point, last night, Gino Gambino did an Instagram Live, and somebody on there asked him who from Australian wrestling would he like to see signed in New Japan. And I think the majority of people he said were EPW workers, like Marcus Pitt and Damian Slater, and that whole group is just... So the talent is definitely there. Then they've been there for years, and it's just the fact that they're all staying in Perth and helping the next generation come through says so much about the culture you've built over there.
Yeah, I think it's something we've focused on, and for a few years I would say that we probably lost our way a little bit, that I think we became too concerned with appealing perhaps to an audience that isn't the audience that we should necessarily be going for. We were always a promotion that focused really heavily on the in-ring. That was always the most important thing to us. And I think over the years, we lost our identity a little bit, and we tried to appeal to a much wider fan base. But by doing so, I think we hurt a lot of the fans who were hardcore EPW fans, who the in-ring was the important thing to them. And with a bit of a change in the management structure over here, I think, and by reaching out to a lot of people who have been involved with EPW for years but have great business success in other areas of life, we've tried to incorporate them and bring some of the attitude from successful business practices back to EPW. And I'm not someone who necessarily leans towards the business side of things defining whether or not we're a success, but taking some things that help set up successful cultures, I think that's really important. And if I would say, and this goes to all wrestling schools, to all wrestling promotions, if you don't have a clear idea of what it is that you're trying to do and what you're trying to achieve and what you stand for, then you're not really helping add to the culture at all. You're kind of just taking up oxygen and time and energy, but you're not really adding anything back to the art of professional wrestling. So whatever it is that you stand for, that's fine. I don't really have any issues with... There are obviously different styles of professional wrestling, and they get over in different settings, but for me, it's important that you represent something and you actually stand for something, because as the old saying goes, when you're trying to be all things to all people, you sometimes end up being absolutely nothing to anybody.
Yeah, and is that do you think that could be part of a problem, a growing problem, where I think some promotions are trying to go so hard for that mainstream audience, they might lose their hardcores? And how do you get those hardcores back once you've done that?
Yeah, it's definitely a tricky situation. I think as I've grown more comfortable as an individual performer, I suppose I've tried to help bring that confidence to EPW as well. But it's important that you understand who you are and what you stand for. And just representing that in the best way that you can. And obviously you want to grow your audience. And I think with the boom period being the way that it is, I think most of us would believe that if what we represent is what people, what appeals to hardcore wrestling fans, and that's strong in-ring, strong characters and strong storytelling, then I think we would all like to think that we can represent that pretty well. So do you want the mainstream fans? I think to someone who measures their success by dollars and cents, and certainly there are some large corporate entities in the wrestling world that they're beholden to shareholders, and that then perhaps becomes the most important thing to them. And the more that they become focused on the dollar, I think it becomes even more imperative that us here at the lower levels, that we really do represent something, and we stand for more than just making money and getting people through the door. Obviously, we want to get people through the door because we want to reach as many people as we can with whatever it is that we feel is the best way to present professional wrestling. But I think it's really important that independent wrestling stays as independent as possible, and that we don't try to be WWE light, because that's not what the majority of us love about wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I'm seeing that it's sort of showing at the moment, with people sort of veering more towards not so much even AEW, but I've noticed that that NWA Power show that was up. I've gotten that much like reports of how good that show is, compared to hearing about how massive the AEW Dynamite is, or the change with SmackDown and Raw. And that old NWA, well, not old, it's a new NWA Power show, yep, is straight out of like 80s, 70s wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, there is this lost fan base of, and when I say earlier that, you know, WWE is not necessarily what I love about wrestling, I would say that modern day WWE, a lot of what they represent is not what I love about wrestling. But WWE, obviously, like most people, is what first drew me to wrestling. They play the characters that they've created, and the moments that they've created, and the matchups they've created over the years play a huge part in my story as a wrestling fan, and obviously as a wrestler as well. But these days, perhaps the product that they present isn't what I'm looking for anymore. It doesn't feel like it has the passion, perhaps, and you know, probably that's just me looking back with rose-colored glasses as well as a kid, that wrestling can never again affect you, perhaps, in the way that it did when you first lay eyes on it as a kid. But I don't feel that that's what I necessarily love about wrestling anymore. And, you know, shows like NWA Power or AEW or New Japan, or just people's local promotions, whatever it happens to be, I think people want to feel a little more connected, that a lot of our lives are filled with large corporations that all feel a little soulless, you know, whether it's Starbucks or McDonald's or whatever TV channel it happens to be that you watch. I think people want to feel more in tune with what it is that they attach themselves to, because whatever our hobbies are, whatever our interests are, they kind of help define who we are. And to say, as much as the WWE likes to preach the WWE universe and family and all this stuff, it does feel like more than ever that the fans don't really affect the product in the way that they might have in years gone by. And I think people want to feel really connected to the things that they're interested in. And, you know, NWA is such a great example of that. They're not trying to be someone else. They're not trying to be WWE light. They're not trying to be AEW either, though. They're not trying to be New Japan. They're trying to be exactly what they see professional wrestling as, what they love about professional wrestling. So I think that goes to speak to exactly what I'm talking about, that it's really important that you just find what it is that you love about whatever it is that you're involved in, and that you represent that in the truest fashion that you can, instead of trying to be a lesser version of something successful that you see.
Yeah, do you think also too it is where, and maybe even AEW will suffer from this a little bit too much, well not too much, but a little bit in itself, where if something is a little too polished, it doesn't appeal so much to the hardcores? If you know what I mean, you want it a little bit rough, you want a little bit, you know what I mean, so they can get into it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it all depends, I suppose, on why people were drawn to it at the beginning. It feels to me like a large part of the early success, at least, of AEW was that they actually seemed interested in giving the fans what they wanted, and being led by people like the Bucks, they seemed particularly connected to their fan base. And I think that's probably what's more important necessarily than whether something feels, whether it feels too big or too corporate. I think so long as they can keep that feeling of being connected to their audience, I think that's genuinely the most important thing. It's really important that it's not, you know, you can draw a reaction from people, but to really make people feel something is it's an experience that bonds you with your audience. If you can make people feel genuine feelings, because you know, that's not something really that's asked to be expressed in the workplace or in your everyday life all that often. We're told so often to temper our emotions and to try and not express ourselves, but rather to temper who you are to some extent in order to fit into broader society or a workplace or whatever it happens to be. So much of our lives is compromised, and I feel like if in an uninhibited way you can make people feel something, that can be a really powerful experience that really bonds you to your audience.
Yeah, and it's also, it's a bit of a tightrope, because if you make them feel a certain way, if you do something like a turn or something, oh, do they get dirty?
That's real genuine emotion, and I suppose at the end of the day, that's what we're... And I think some people have been afraid to go for that over the years. It's
definitely hard.
A different wrestling landscape.
Yeah, it's very hard in this. I want to say political landscape, because it really is. It's such a tightrope that you have to walk sometimes, where how far do you go to get heat? And then when you do go this certain way, have you gone too far? Or are fans supposed to know that this is a show? And when we're backstage, we're mates. None of this is actually real. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a tricky line too, that I think sometimes people that are looking for problems are always going to find one.
Yeah.
And
there are plenty of those people nowadays.
Yeah, definitely. And plenty of those people attend wrestling shows too. But I think it's important, again, that you... as our shows have started to become a little more mature, we're certainly not... we're not R-rated and we're not breaking bottles over each other's heads, but our product has started to move back to more of an adult focus. And I wouldn't even say that in terms of we're not promoting overly sexual or overly violent tones on the show. It's more just we're trying to think in a more adult manner. We're not trying to present we're not thinking family friendly first. We're thinking rather, where would the story naturally progress to?
Yeah. And what's the best story?
And sometimes that takes you into more of an adult territory. It makes you say more adult things. And, you know, for me, my most recent storyline over here with EPW champion, the Don Michael Morleone, the story was more... It wasn't a storyline for kids, but there was nothing offensive about it. I wasn't out there swearing and ranting and raving and... there was no adultery or anything like that. There was no hint of anything that you would call adult, but the content of the storyline is quite mature, that I'm out there fighting for a chance to try and have one last moment of glory in front of my kids, because my kids have not been around for the 17 years that I've been involved in wrestling. growing up in that time, they don't have a strong understanding of what dad does. And they're learning now that they're growing up a bit. They're 6 and 8, so they're starting to get a little bit of an understanding of wrestling. They're starting to hang around the guys and girls at EPW a little bit more, and they're definitely starting to get an appreciation for it. So my storyline is to try and have this one last hurrah in front of my kids, and that's not something that a kid can really relate to, because they're not going to be a father who felt that they've disappointed their kids in some way and wants to try and live up to being a superhero for their kids. So, like I said, you know, in terms of presenting a more adult product, it's not necessarily about being rude or crude, but more so just about naturally exploring where the story goes and not being afraid to take turns that might take a little more consideration, and not insulting your audience by having to dumb everything down for them.
No, and sometimes when you can weave that, just that little bit of truth into the storyline, is when you feel it more too. When you're doing promos and you can actually feel what you're saying while you're doing the promo, that gets over more than anything I've noticed anyway. Because Jake did a promo last month. Jake Nova did a promo last month for his match with Robbie Eagles. And a lot of that stuff he said in his promo, he meant, because he does, he... And I don't want to blow his horn, because God knows he does that enough himself. But Jake is legitimately one of the better wrestlers in this country. And because he is from up here, he doesn't get the recognition that a lot of other guys get.
And absolutely.
I would guess after like 4 or 5 years of doing that, it would probably start to get under your skin.
Yeah, definitely. And even if it doesn't get under your skin, you could at least get into the headspace of someone who it could get under their skin.
Yeah, and people can empathize with that, because everyone's been at work where they've seen a guy who doesn't work as hard or isn't as good a worker as them get ahead because of something.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not a particularly bitter person. It's an exciting time for Australian wrestling. There's lots of incredible opportunities going on both here and abroad for people, and it's not in my wheelhouse to get bitter about that, but it's very easy to have access to the feelings that allow me to feel those things in order to say them. And I have no problem saying them. I say them quite regularly.
Let's move into EPW at the moment, because you guys just got off an 8-day stretch at the Royal Perth show. What was that like? That's like old. I think we're talking off air about this. That was like old school territory sort of stuff where you kept working the same with. How much did you have to change up your stuff from day to day to day? Because how many sessions a day did you do over those 8 days?
So it was 3 sessions a day for 8 days straight. So there were some warriors in our troop who did all 24 sessions. And despite my offers to them to have a session off or have some rest, they just weren't interested in taking any time off. I think to them it was a badge of honour to be able to represent EPW for 24 sessions straight. So
God bless them for being young.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I certainly wasn't one of those people who was banging down the door to be on every session. So I managed to squeeze a couple of days of full rest in there, mostly because I just wanted to, it was school holidays here, I wanted to spend some time with my kids. So managed to get a couple of days off while still, I think in the 8-day stretch, I think I squeezed in about 15 or 16 matches, so it's still a very good run. It's fairly physically taxing, although I will say you very much switch your style up for this audience. So while I've said before that you can't, you know, you still want to represent what it is that you represent, you also want to work as hard as you can to entertain those people. So there can be no... When people walk into this, they pay for the Royal Show, but then the entertainment is free, so they can step in and watch Explosive Pro Wrestling 3 times a day while having no background in professional wrestling. So it's kind of imperative. It's part of our job also to give them an education in pro wrestling and make them understand the basics of wrestling that make it all work, the crowd participation, the good guy and the bad guy. So it's a unique challenge that generally when we perform, we are performing for people who know what they're going to get and have paid good money to come and see us. This is a case where mum and dad are just wandering around looking for show bags, and they want to get 10 minutes out of the sun, and they hear some noise coming from a pavilion, and they wander in, and they sit down, and now all of a sudden, a large man is yelling at them from a wrestling ring. So they have no idea what they're in for when they step foot in there, and you want to try and, as much as you can, encourage them to take part in this unique form of entertainment where, you know, you go to the movies, you rarely yell at the screen. There's always some special people who love to come and yell at the screen during the movies. But for the most part, you sit there and you mind your own business. You enjoy the show. And same with the theatre. You go there and you enjoy the show. But here you can come to this different environment where people are encouraged to make noise and you're encouraged to try and interact with the characters on the screen. And I think it's the unique part about wrestling that makes us really... And it's something that you show and people into the matches and make them invested.
Yeah, so I always thought, like working supernovas, because I've worked a few of those, if you can get two, like, if you're doing three matches a session, if you can get, like, two old school, like, 80s-style matches and then work in one with some really good technical stuff, you might be able to grab those couple of people that enjoy the little 80s stuff and go, oh, so that's what it's like. Okay, so they've got these guys on the card as well. These guys are amazing.
Yeah, that was, for me, that was kind of the trick was, and I was a heel for a lot of my sessions because I just find that more entertaining in this setting to do.
Oh, yeah, it's so easy to work heel for those crowds.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And that's, you know, that's half the fun is seeing the smiles on parents' faces as you're messing with their 8-year-old.
Yeah.
And to me, it was really important to lay the groundwork early just to engage people. But then it was also super important to me to make sure that I threw in two or three very athletic things in the match to try and hook them. They kind of know, maybe they have some idea of what to expect from professional wrestling, so they're expecting a bit of the banter, they're expecting a bit of arrogance from the heel and the good guy who comes back. But in between that, athletically, they're probably not ready for some of the stuff that we do in 2019-style professional wrestling. So it was really important to try and squeeze in some of those elements just to make sure that they had a clear understanding that, as you know, the saying goes, this isn't your grandfather's wrestling.
Yeah. How hard do you guys work at EPW? Because this at the moment, is one of my... I've got a couple of bugbears with wrestling at the moment. One of mine at the moment is people seem to... They have their character, they have their gimmick, and as soon as the bell rings, that goes away and they become wrestler. How hard do you guys have to work at EPW anyway to instill of that keep your character during the match? Because I think that's when you lose a fan...
Yeah, definitely. I agree because, and, you know, we recently had TJ Perkins out here and he ran a seminar and TJ and I very much read from the same hymn book that the style of training that I've been focusing on probably in the last 8 to 12 weeks specifically here in EPW, but obviously something that I've had a great focus on over the last couple of years as well, has been just maintaining that. And truth is, it sounds like a bit of a wanky word, but that's really what it is about, is trying to be, rather than trying to be out there playing pro wrestler, being out there and being pro wrestler. So whatever it is that you stand for in professional wrestling, whoever it is that you happen to be. So, you know, somebody, let's take Robbie Eagles, for example. Robbie Eagles is an amazing in-ring wrestler who brings intensity and fire to the ring. And Robbie represents that from the second he walks through the curtain to the second he leaves. There's not a second that you feel that Robbie's not giving you 100% of himself. And I think a lot of this is an experience thing, that the more comfortable you feel out there, the easier it is to be yourself out there. So for myself, 17 years now, almost 18, I don't have to think about how Davis Storm reacts when something unexpected happens. I don't have to think about how Davis Storm reacts at a two count. These aren't things, choices that I'm making when I'm out there. I'm just being Davis Storm.
Yeah.
There's no, I always laugh at people who, at the Royal Show, obviously a lot of people see you in the ring and then we go out and we hand out some flyers and sign autographs and do photos. And some people say, oh, you're David Storm. And there's a part of me that almost wants to say, no, no, no. David Storm exists for the 10 to 15 minutes he walks out the curtain and then back through again, because I can never be David Storm as much as I can when I'm in a wrestling setting.
Yeah.
That's a part of who that character and that persona is. But it's been around for half of my life, so it's a part of who I am. It's very easy for me to get into character. Isn't even the right phrase for me at this point. I think it's almost just accessing a part of my personality and turning that on and off. But it's part of who I am, and I think that's really important. That I think people focus really heavily on the physical of wrestling, because it seems, at least on the surface, if you watch wrestling, that the physical has taken center stage. But if you watch a truly great wrestler, and I'll take someone who, you know, in terms of flashy stuff in the ring, isn't the flashiest guy, but if you take a guy like Tomohiro Ishii, it's not that he is doing the flashiest moves in the ring. Yes, the physical is extremely important, but he's playing that character, and again, I say character in such a loose manner because it's probably just a part of who he is. This grizzled guy who goes out there and puts his body on the line and basically says, I will run my body into yours as many times as I have to until you fall over.
Yeah.
That seems like a part of his personality, and I don't know him well, so all I can say is if that is not part of his personality, he plays his character extremely well. that's super important, though. You're spot on that if you need to be able to represent who you are from the second you step out there to the second you leave. You need to understand how you react to certain things. You need to understand how you feel in certain situations. And it's something that I've been quite vocal about, that you have to be willing to allow yourself to feel different emotions out there rather than just being super angry and intense all the time. You have to allow yourself to feel the full gamut of emotions and be able to emote those to fans as well.
Yeah, but to also keep it like someone who, in my opinion at the moment, is the worker of the year in Australia, that is Mick Moretti. Mick Moretti never drops that character when he's in the ring, and it's perfect.
No, and it is.
And it gets him over. It doesn't matter if he's never been in front of a crowd before. After he's in front of that crowd, they don't forget him. I mean, he was the talk of Bowler, and he was in like a middle to nothing, well, not nothing match because it was Bowler, but he wasn't in an important match on the card. He wasn't, but everyone was raving about Mick Moretti at the end of that show.
He is a show-stealing character for sure. You always leave, especially if you're seeing him for the first time, you always leave with a strong impression of Mick Moretti. He is so highly rated, and I still feel like he's incredibly underrated at the same time.
Yeah, I said he's the closest thing to like a Warner Brothers Daffy Duck sort of character alive.
Yep.
That has ever been going around. He just, the way he stays in character, he did this one spot last weekend at RCW, because I watched the event on YouTube, where the wrestler couldn't touch him while he was holding the ropes. So he got backed up into the corner, like, I'm in the ropes, ref, he can't touch me, he backs off. So he walks along the side of the rope, and every time the wrestler tries to walk near him, he put his hand on the rope.
Yeah.
Just go, not yet. And walk a bit more. Not yet. Walk a bit more. Okay, now. And it just little things. And it's the little things, I think, is what some guys need to learn. They need to learn to not drop that character. And I know that you're probably nervous and you've got things you want to try and remember, but you've got to also be in the moment.
Yeah. Again, I think it's something that as you become more comfortable as a person and more comfortable as a performer, it's something that you kind of slide into. But also, it's something that requires focus. It's like any other muscle in your body. It needs to be worked in order to have that muscle memory. You need to build up those reps. So if it's a part of your game that you just ignore all the time, I think it's something that you will continue to lack as you grow or don't grow as a wrestler.
Mm. So those 8 days would have been invaluable for the younger guys on your roster.
Yeah, absolutely. And you could see the confidence grow in them too as they got more comfortable not having time to lay out a match, but rather just having maybe an hour and a half between sessions to just sit down and quickly spot out whatever they were going to do next.
Yeah, and they would have probably learnt a lot with having someone like Matty Wahlberg on that tour as well, because that's a dude that is always in character.
Yeah, absolutely. Matty's one of a kind. I don't think I've seen many in my entire time in Australian wrestling like Matty Wahlberg. He's got lightning in a bottle as far as I'm concerned, and you know, I think he still has some growing to do, but in terms of that, and again, I won't say character.
No.
It's a part of who he is that he's able to tap into. And, you know, he might not be that guy 24/7, but that is a part of who he is, and he's able to access that and bring that to life in a wrestling ring. And that's an exceptional talent. That is something that, like I said, it does take experience and it does take being comfortable with yourself. And this is something that people generally grow into as they get older. And it's why there are some performers who are able to almost defy their age, like Shawn Michaels on the tail end of his career, like Chris Jericho in this current stage of his career, that he somehow is able to continue to stay relevant because he's able to do these different things while still staying true to what it is that makes Chris Jericho, Chris Jericho.
Yeah, yeah. And Matty's also got that annoying natural charisma that you can't teach. And it's like, that's so fucking annoying. You just walked out there and you were dead. The crowd just instantly went, okay, we either like or we hate this guy.
Yep.
That's the hardest thing
I find. He's definitely not someone that you don't ride the middle of the road with him, do you?
No. And the hardest thing I find with wrestling is, like, they can hate me, they can love me, I just don't want you to be indifferent to me.
Yeah, certainly. And I can't imagine Matty Wahlberg getting that sort of reaction. That's to me the most important thing about wrestling, is just so long as they're making some noise as you play out your masterpiece, that's the single most important thing.
Yeah, and this year you've gotten out a bit more across the country. You've worked PWA a couple of times. You're working it again coming up this weekend. You worked up in Queensland with us at Pro Wrestling League. How's that been for a change for you? Has that been sort of like a nice little shot in the arm after X amount of years of doing it?
Yeah, definitely. And I've taken a backward step at EPW as well in terms of in-ring. So I say that coming off the heels of doing 15 matches in 8 days. But I've taken a backward step on most of our main shows that we do at the Gate One Theatre in Claremont. So I've tried to... For me, when something special or unique comes up, I'm certainly more than willing to step up and take the match, like the last one with Michael Morleone, and the upcoming one with the Untouchables. These are matches that, and storylines that I can sink my teeth into, but I don't want to take opportunities away from guys who are developing and need that ring time and that experience in front of 300, 350 people.
Yeah.
But I love traveling. I love meeting new people. I love, perhaps, with all the experience that I've gained over the years, perhaps I've got that one bit of advice that helps push someone from being good to being very good, or from being very good to being exceptional, or maybe somebody that I meet out there who has far less experience than me has something to say about my wrestling or about wrestling in general that makes me rethink the way that I approach what I do. So I love these experiences of traveling to new places, meeting new people, getting in front of new audiences, and being able to perform for a new crowd, which is always exciting, and meeting a whole locker room full of new guys and girls as well. And it's been nice getting to places definitely like Queensland, where there are so many experienced heads out there who I just have never met over the course of my career.
Yeah.
And it's also cool meeting the young up-and-comers who you start to hear things about, because news obviously travels a lot faster with social media these days than it used to. So we're we're getting to see some of the exciting young talent around the country in ways that we probably wouldn't have seen or heard about them in years previous. So it's cool getting out to new places. It definitely does help keep you invigorated and interested, and it just keeps you in tune with what else is happening around the country as well.
Yeah, because a lot of times you can stay in that little bubble of that's your own world, and that you don't really know. Even though you're watching the stuff around, you're not really in it, and you're not really knowing what's going on. And it's good every now and then to get out of that bubble.
Yeah, for sure.
And I know personally, just from listening to the guys after they did your seminar up in Queensland, how much they'd learned or how much they hadn't thought about certain things that you said during that seminar until you brought it up to them. They were like, oh, yeah, okay, I understand. That sort of deal. So that's a service that you're doing for everyone, really.
I think it's important to, you know, there were people who helped put that information in my ears, and I think it's really important to try and pass that on where we can as well. It's, you know, through a lot of travelling and whatever else, I've been able to get in front of the right people who have taught me a lot of lessons about wrestling, and just being involved in it for so long. The other thing is just, because, like you said, we are kind of, all of us are stuck in our own little bubbles and our own little training bubbles, things can start to stagnate a little bit and kind of look the same, that everyone comes up in the same training model. They're influenced by the same people and by the same trainers, that there is the fear that everything can start to look the same as well. So it's good being exposed to different opinions, being exposed to different styles of training and different styles of wrestling, so that everybody looks a little different, feels a little different. If you can have the best wrestling on the planet, but if every single match looks exactly the same, the show isn't going to be particularly entertaining. So it's good to have other influences around, and I hope that in my time in Queensland, and I've been fortunate enough to, I did a little bit of training up in Darwin this year, ran a seminar in Sydney as well, thanks to PWA. So it's been fun getting around the country and just getting in front of new faces and trying to share some old lessons that I've learned.
Yeah, well, speaking of, because I'd completely forgotten about that, how was the new Darwin promotion?
Incredible. Although, I'm going to say that anyway because my two best friends run that promotion. So I am somewhat biased, but I can genuinely say that my trip to Darwin was one of the funnest wrestling experiences of my life. It had that feeling of EPW on day one, that we were starting from scratch, and I think it was particularly exciting for a few of my really experienced, EPW's really experienced crew, like Marcus Pitt and Devlin Reeves and Giles O'Brien, our retired referee who keeps coming out of retirement, like a typical wrestler. I think it was great, and Gavin McGavin as well, that these are guys who have a world of experience within EPW, and they've travelled and gained experiences elsewhere in wrestling as well, but these are guys who didn't start out with EPW on day one, and I think it meant a lot for them to be there on day one, and hell, it meant a lot for me to be there on day one, and not just to be there for my friends who I love, obviously, and want to see them succeed, but also just to see so many of these young guys starting out on their journey in professional wrestling, and whether or not they continue to go on with it or not, they can say that they were there on day one of the first locally produced wrestling show in Darwin, and that's something they'll always be able to call back to and say that they were a part of that. And I think it was really important for all of us. For myself, obviously, having been experienced with EPW and having been there on day one, and then for some of our guys and girls who hadn't experienced that before, I think that was a huge learning experience for them, but also just an emotional, that they'll always be tied to Pro Wrestling Darwin because they were there on day one. So it was a really fun trip. We were having a pretty shit winter in Perth, so it was really nice just to get some warmer weather. Probably the most amazing sunsets I've ever seen in my life. So for wrestlers all over Australia, you know, if you want to take a holiday and get away from it all and just kick back for a few days. Pro Wrestling Darwin is absolutely the place to be.
And it must be good to that you're putting on a show, like a first show for a new promotion in a new territory completely, and you know that that show is good quality. Because the worst thing that can turn a fan off is that they come to a show and it's the wrestling's not that good.
Yeah, absolutely. That was, and that was, I think, the feeling speaking to a lot of the fans afterwards who thanked the Perth Boys in particular for coming out to help put on the show. And I think the feeling amongst a lot of them was they were shocked at the quality of the show. And that's something that was really important to Brad, the promoter up in Darwin. That was something really important to him, that from day one he wanted to make sure that he set the standard. And I know that there were a lot of situations that conspired against him in the lead up to the show. That's his story to tell, not mine. But a lot of really unfortunate circumstances conspired against him and continually tried to pull the rug from under his feet in terms of getting the show to the audience and getting the show happening. But they got there, and I felt like they put on a show that they could all be proud of. And I hope they are. I hope everyone involved with Pro Wrestling Darwin was proud of that first one. But I also hope that they're all charged up and training hard and getting ready to top that with their next show.
Yeah. See, the worst thing as a booker, as like from what I've done in the business, the worst thing for me as a booker is the week of the show, everything going smoothly, because then I know something's going to happen on the show day.
Sure.
If that's me just being old, paranoid.
Yeah,
oh, mate, I just wait for it. I wait for it. And then when someone comes and goes, oh, this has happened, I'm like, there it is. Thank you. That's all I needed.
Of course you are. Yeah.
Speaking of setting the standard, you've got this weekend at Coliseum, Max Watts Sydney. You got Ricky South in the first round of the tournament, mate. Are you pumped for this doubleheader of shows?
Yeah, I am. I really am. This is, like I said, this year for me in wrestling has been one where I've taken a back step in terms of shows and performances, but I've still been putting the foot on the gas in terms of training and trying to get myself into shape, which I've done thanks to the help of my good friend Brett from Performance 365. Go check him out on Facebook. He can help out any of you. I feel like I'm honestly approaching the best shape of my life at the moment, and I couldn't be more prepared for these shows, and so I should be, because this is an exclusive tournament. It's PWA have done an amazing job putting this event on the map. So it started obviously last year, and they did an amazing job with last year's, and that's carried over to this year, where the hype has just built and built and built. The promotional videos that are coming out, the names attached to the tournament, having names like Orange Cassidy and Travis Banks attached to the tournament is only going to help raise the profile, which is exactly what PWA are going for. You know, they want this to be the bowler. They want this to be the exclusive tournament, the most illustrious tournament in Australian wrestling.
Yeah, well, when you've got a guy like Rory Gulak, who isn't even in the tournament, who's just on the card.
Yes. Yep.
It says something right there.
It does, yeah. And, you know, they've done a great job hyping the show up and building anticipation for the show. And I'm pumped. I'm pumped for the shows. I'm pumped for this match with Ricky South. I'm pumped to win a sword and bring it home so that my son can take a sword to school and be the coolest kid in year three. But it's going to be an amazing weekend. And I think it's going to be the sort of weekend where everybody is going to be out there to steal the show.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that I've been looking forward to an encounter with Ricky South for a very long time. Ricky South's got a big reputation. He's someone who I have encountered once or twice in my years here in Australian wrestling. And he's the kind of guy who, in this boom for Australian wrestling, it is all set up for guys of his generation, of his ilk, of his work ethic, to step up to the next level. And I've been quite vocal with my frustrations with this generation of Australian wrestling, that they do a great job on social media, they put in hard work in the gym, but something is missing, and they need to step up and become what I would call big time performers. They need to make the big moments count and be at their best when the biggest opportunities are there. So to me, it's somewhat easy when the pressure is off to rise to the occasion, because there's no expectations. There are huge expectations for Coliseum, as well there should be, because a lot of time and promotional weight has gone into making this tournament a really big deal. And there's some amazing young talent in this tournament, but it is up to them to seize the moment. So Jessica Troy, Sam Osborne, Maddie Wahlberg, Ricky South, this is their moment to rise up and shine. But, you know, speaking for myself, and I can't speak for the rest of the field in the tournament, I can't speak for Chris Basso, I can't speak for Travis Banks, I can't speak for Orange Cassidy, but I can speak for Davis Storm. And I'm not ready to relinquish the spotlight to anyone, and I certainly don't feel like it's my obligation to hand the spotlight to anyone. It's not my obligation to hand the torch to anyone. It is imperative that this generation starts to tear the torch from the hands of the guys who have flown the flag for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
It's not on us. It's not on us to just present it to them. I don't believe in this bullshit of it's my turn. It's my turn to be pushed. It's not your turn until you make it your turn.
Yeah,
you need to take it from us. Exactly right. If you're not worthy of rising up and outperforming me on a big stage, then you don't deserve my spot. And this is what I expect from these guys. If you want to step into that role, you want the respect that the names around this country of the Hartley Jacksons, the Slexes, the Rocky Moneros, the Robbie Eagles, if you want that sort of respect, then you need to step up to these people on these big stages and show that you're better than they are. And that is exactly what I expect everyone to do this weekend.
Well, sir, you definitely have my respect. Massive, massive fan of you. Cannot wait to see you this weekend on OVO. If you haven't got OVO Play, guys, go out and get it. I think it's only like $9.99, and you're going to get covered for the whole month of shows for Nui Pro, PWA, the Coliseum tournament in itself, and that's just going to be amazing. $9.99 for that tournament alone is unbelievable, let alone for everything else that you're going to get with it. And you're going to get to see this guy, Davis Storm, take on Ricky South, which will be an absolute classic, because Ricky, you see the character, you see the flamboyance. That kid can go when the bell rings. So that is going to be a great match. Sam Osborne, again, another kid that's up and coming, a bull. You got Jessica Troy, the best, aside from Madison Eagles, and it would be a close A and B, one of the best women workers in the country at the moment. Tamachi, you don't even have to say she's one of the best women workers. She's one of the best workers in the country at the moment. You've got Chris Basso. You've got Travis Banks, who's actually still signed to WWE, working a PWA show, which is amazing. Orange Cassidy. This has got to be one of the first times you'll ever see an AEW worker and a WWE signed talent on the same card for a two-night sort of tournament.
Yeah, and I imagine not something you'll see too much more of in the future.
No.
You might want to take advantage of it while you can.
Exactly. Thank you so much for coming on, mate. I know we're a little pressed for time, but thank you so very much for sitting down and talking to me, mate.
Absolute pleasure, mate. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, before we go, sorry, I keep forgetting to do this. Social, so people can follow you and know what Davis Storm's up to.
EPW Davis Storm, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, although my Instagram's a private account. So if you're going to send me a request and your account's private, maybe shoot me a private message and just let me know that you're not a creepy person who's trying to check out photos of me and my kids hanging out. So, but EPW Davis Storm across all platforms.
Awesome. Thank you so very much for coming on, sir.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
People say having an opinion is like having a penis. It's really great for you, but you shouldn't share it around. That's exactly what we don't do. We share it all about the internet. And in fact, we advertise it on other people's podcasts so that they can go and enjoy it as well. Am I talking about penises, or am I talking about opinions on film? To find out, you'll have to go to our website, secondtakepodcast.com, or find Second Take Podcast on your podcatcher of choice.
Once again, big thanks to my guest, the godfather of Australian wrestling. That's right, I said it, Jag Hartley Jackson. Go out there and challenge him for it, because I believe those matches would be unbelievable. Davis Storm, thank you so very much for coming on, mate. Like I said, in the near distant future, we will have to catch up again for another chat, because he's one of those guys that I could probably sit down and talk pro wrestling with 4 hours, because he's got such a deep knowledge of the sport and a different way to thinking of it in some ways that I think about wrestling, which is great. It's always great to hear different opinions. It's always great to hear different views of this sport that we all love, and we must love it, because why the hell would we be doing this stuff to ourselves? Why the hell would we put ourselves under so much stress constantly if we didn't love it? And that's all I can say about it. Like, I get stressed out to the max about the stuff I do with professional wrestling, but I wouldn't have it any other way, because this is something that I love. I love promoting it. I love trying to help the next generation of guys just get better and to entertain crowds and to bring crowds in that will get to see these guys and see how hard they work and see what they can do with what they've learned and how hard they've worked. And all of that stuff, that just drive, at the moment, that's the key drive for me, because I really don't care about a quote-unquote career in wrestling. I'm old. I'm old as dirt. And that's not my thing. My thing at the moment, what gets me more excited at the moment than anything, is to get these young guys noticed, to get these young guys out there, to get these guys have the best chance of living a dream that so many people have around the world, and to be able to achieve that dream. But my dream right now is to get you guys, if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to Wrestle Radio Australia. It's free. You can do it on Stitcher, iTunes. We're on Spotify. Get out there and catch that. Or anywhere you get your podcast from. If you do stop by iTunes, though, give us a rating and review while you're there. Give us a 5-star. Helps us get inside more ears. Share the show and spread the word about professional wrestling in this country. Also, make sure you like us on Facebook. Just search out Wrestle Radio Australia. And on Twitter at Wrestle Radio AU, or me personally at Beast Eastman. Remember, we do have our Wrestle Radio Australia merch up on redbubble.com. Anything you get there, you can get t-shirts, you can get coffee cups, you can get God knows what. Now, they keep expanding what you can put on, put your logos and stuff on. Anything you get that has Wrestle Radio Australia on it, all the proceeds, all the profits that would normally go to my very deep pockets, as you could probably tell, because the sneakers I wear are just so expensive. any of those profits that would normally go to me, I'm not going to me anymore. I haven't gone to me for, geez, would it be over a year now? They go to They go to Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life, two charities that I am passionate about, and that is helping fighting the absolute epidemic that is mental illness in this country, and especially in young men, and well, just men in general, because if you just look at the statistics, and they're everywhere, that we lose up to 6 men a day to suicide. And that stuff can be prevented just by people talking about their problems and that's the worst thing too, is that they say 6 men a day take their own lives. They can't give you the proper statistics on how many people attempt to take their own lives every day because of this horrible, horrible thing that's happening to everyone. And didn't happen to me. Thank God the whole wanting to take my own life never happened to me, but I do suffer from anxiety. I do suffer from like bouts of depression at times. And the thing that gets me through is being able to talk to my friends, being able to talk to my mates, being able to talk to my wife. And that is what I think everyone needs to learn, is you just need to talk about your problems. No problem is too big if that you cannot talk about it. So that's Todd's little pearl of knowledge. And knowing is half the battle. Anyway, to send us out this weekend, we do have Promo Land. Promo Land is from my mate, my friend, my brother, my mentor, the man that taught me most of what I know in professional wrestling, world-class Chris Basso, because he is at Coliseum this weekend. And I am personally so very glad to see him at this tournament, because even though he's been doing the World Series Wrestling tours and all of that, and that is amazing, I want the rest of the country to see what I've seen for the last 9 years at Riot City Wrestling, is how good this guy is. It's the same as what I want for people to see. I would love for next year's Coliseum to have Jake Nova at that Coliseum, because I want the rest of the country, I want the rest of the world to see what I've seen the last 3 or 4 years I've been up here in Queensland, that Jake Nova is one of the best wrestlers in this country. Anyway, I just went off on a tangent because apparently that's what I do now. Anyway, that wraps us up for this WrestleRoy Australia. We will hopefully see you next week. I'll try and line someone else up, but who knows, you know. I haven't been that very reliable lately. But for everyone here at WrestleRoy Australia, which is basically just me, I'm Todd Eastman, and we'll see you next week. Hopefully, who knows? Who knows? Don't know. Possibly. Maybe.
Let's just talk about my first round opponent for Coliseum, Matty Wahlberg. Now, you know, it's amazing to see how far Matty's come since he's first started. When he first broke onto the scene and I reached out to him and I gave him advice and he's hit me back, we're having late night phone calls. Matty, he's built quite the little career for himself. It's so good to see. Man, the guy reminds me so much of me, it scares me. Of course, the big difference being is that in this world, Matty is still just a little boy. In this business, Matty's still green as goose shit. Whereas I've been doing this for 17 years. I've been doing this for over half of my fucking life. So what? The first round. I'm going to prove to the world exactly what I already know. And that is that Matty was born and he will die a contender. Whereas I am the champion. And at Coliseum, just like on Survivor, I'm going to put your torch out. Again. The tribe has spoken, motherfucker.